Today is October 15, 2009. This is an oral history interview with Diana Madden for the Society of Women Engineers Grassroots Oral History Project. Diana is the 2009 Society of Women Engineers Outstanding Counselor Award recipient. She is a senior electrical designer at Schiller and Hirst Associates, and she has been there since 2000. The interviewer is Troy Eller. We are at the SWE National Conference in Long Beach, California. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
To begin with, can you tell me a little bit about where you were born and raised and your family?
I was born in Maryland, about 15 miles north of Washington, D.C. I have an older brother and older sister. I'm the youngest. And we lived there until my sophomore year. We moved up to Pennsylvania, about 30 minutes west of Philadelphia.
Okay. And were your parents engineers?
Or? No. My dad is a scientist. He does research on immunology and viruses and all that kind of stuff. And my mom worked for the school system while we were in Maryland. And she originally was a nurse, but once my brother was born, she stopped. So there was a kind of scientific background and help with all of that. But
yeah. Okay. Can you tell me how you first became interested in math and science and engineering when you were a kid? Or is that?
I think I always excelled in math, and so I always enjoyed it. Numbers, math was fun in high school. I loved doing my math homework. and actually when we moved, I got into, they had different classes that I got introduced into different curriculum than I would have in Maryland. And I took a computer-aided drafting course, was one of two girls in that class, and did that for 2 years. And it was actually that teacher that got me interested and recommended that I, you know, go look at Drexel, think about engineering. And to this day, I still do CAD as my everyday job. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of helped push me into that. And
okay. Do you still stay in touch with this teacher?
No. I did actually, it was kind of weird. I had interviewed for one of my co-ops and they asked a very similar question. Mm-hmm. And I said, this one teacher, and he happened to work for that company. It's kind of weird. But after that, I actually haven't really...
Okay.
Kept in touch with them.
Okay. Was it strange being one of two women in this high school class?
Not really. The only setback was they talked about football for the first like 15 minutes of class, which was not, you know, my forte. But other than that, it was, I always liked being different. So, and being in that situation wasn't difficult, or the guys were welcoming. There wasn't too much picking on or anything like that. So
okay. So what year did you go to Drexel?
I started in 1999, and it's a 5-year program with a co-op, so I graduated in 2004.
Okay. And why did you decide to study electrical engineering?
Well, when I went to Drexel, I was considered undecided in engineering, and I actually thought that I would lean more towards the civil, but the electronics lab that we took, I did well on. The tests were my highest grade, and so mm-hmm. I kind of went that way. It was highly math-based, and which I loved, and was able to then minor in math because most of the requirements, I only had to take, you know, 3 or 4 extra classes. So mm-hmm. I never liked chemistry. It was never my strong point. So that one got ruled out pretty quick. Mm-hmm. So that's how I picked electrical.
Okay. What was it like to be a woman engineering student at Drexel at the turn of the 21st century?
As an electrical engineer, as I got further into my classes and I specialized in power, I was actually the only girl in those concentrated classes where the civil and a lot of the mechanical, they had some of the support. But I never, I don't think I had any difficulties. I had, I mean, a lot of the guys made fun that I was in SWE and said that we were going to take over the world and and all that stuff. But, you know, that's common. It was nothing, you know, that I couldn't really handle. And it was, you know, got you ready for the job place. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What about your math classes? Were there a lot, many other women in your math classes?
Yes, the math classes, because they were for math majors and computer science. There was a lot more females in the computer science field. So I did get a chance to, you know, hang out with those women and meet them and.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about your professors? Did you have many women professors?
I had two.
Mm-hmm.
There might have been a few. The math teachers, there were more, but in electrical engineering and actually the discipline that I took, we actually were lucky that we had two female professors. I know that the mechanical department has been trying to get more female faculty advisors, and so in that sense, I was very lucky. To experience that you know, these women have done all their research and are working in a support system in that sense.
Do you feel like you benefited more by having female professors as opposed to not having any? Do you think that there was any value to you as a woman engineer to have a role model like that?
I think technically no, but I think on a personal level, you know, it's nice to see that we are getting in there, that, you know, it's not just all, you know, male professors. And there are a few female TAs that are coming in for, you know, their doctorates or whatever and helping out as well. So in that sense, but I don't think necessarily from like a strictly educational standpoint there was any, you know, value. But
okay.
Personally, yeah.
Okay. Did you have any mentors in college, any professors or advisors who you feel helped to prepare you for your career?
Well, I would say the faculty advisor that we had for a few years for the collegiate section at Drexel, she was not an engineer. But she worked for the College of Engineering department doing the like scheduling, and you know, you came to them if they had problems, and she was our advisor. And she, even though she wasn't an engineer, she made the time to actually sign up for membership and show her support, and she was always there for us, and she stood by us even though, you know, we did an event that she was not very fond of. But I think that she was a good example of, you know, helping other women no matter what their background may be technically or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay. Could you tell me about your involvement in the Drexel section of SWE, some of the activities that you did and your positions and responsibilities?
So I started out in Drexel SWE. Drexel requires you to do a university seminar class, and my teacher at that time, she was the faculty advisor for SWE, and so she always convinced, or, you know, advertised SWE in the events and told guys it's a great place to meet girls and whatever. So that was the first year that the Drexel section started Pocono Plateau trip, which they continue to do today, and I still go when I am able. And it's up in the Poconos for the weekend. They do high and low ropes courses. We usually get a seminar, somebody to come and talk to us about varying topics and leadership, and it's just a good team building experience. And so that was my first avenue into the section. And then after that, the officers were kind of at a standstill, and I was kind of made president of the section my sophomore year, if that's what it was. And from then, one of the events, big events that we tried to do was a Mr. Drexel pageant, mm-hmm. that kind of based off of what a lot of high schools like to do, and I know that the Penn State students are very successful in this. We had a lot of criticism mm-hmm. from the female faculty about doing this event. So after that, we didn't really make the money that we were hoping to. Mm-hmm. So they've done it once or twice, and they've made it more into a Mr. Engineer as opposed to open to the whole campus of students. And so that was one event. Mm-hmm. I also started a webpage for the Drexel girls, as well as an email listserv so that we could communicate electronically and reach more people. Mm-hmm. I think that we really, at that time, rebuilt the section because we had trouble with not having a faculty advisor. We were in between at one point, and without that support, you really, it really hurts the section in a way. Mm-hmm. So we also didn't really have a collegiate counselor, professional advisor, much. So when I graduated, I wanted to give that support back, and that's kind of how I made my way back in, and to still help support the section now as much as I can, to make sure that, you know, they don't dwindle, because there's so much history with our section. So
okay, can you tell me how being involved in the Drexel section, did that have any impact on your schooling, on how you negotiated projects and classes?
Or? Well, for me, I dedicated a lot of time for SWE because I wasn't your straight A student. and I knew that I was never going to be. And so I felt that that would balance me out and have mm-hmm. that on my resume and get the leadership skills and other things. And so I think it worked out well with the balance, because I wasn't, you know, study mm-hmm. Personality, or very stressed over those types of things like some people can be. So mm-hmm. I made it work, but I definitely think that SWE was a very large focus of my time mm-hmm. to balance out, you know, academically.
Okay. Were you involved in other groups?
No.
At Drexel? Okay. Okay. When did you start you started working at Schiller and Hirsch in 2000 while
yes.
you were still a student?
Yes. Okay. Drexel has a co-op program, so 6 months in school, 6 months working. There's three co-ops, and I chose to work with this company those three times, and I continued to work part-time in between my co-ops. Mm-hmm. And then when I graduated, they offered me a job, and I've been there since. So
okay. What did you start off working on when you were there? What types of projects were you working on?
The first project that we worked on was two schools for the Spring Ford School District. They had a large increase of students. So there, instead of just having a elementary school, there was a K through 4 school and a 5 through 7 school with plans to have additions put on that got built even before the building was complete, just because of that. So I remember we did a little like miniature golf course. So my company, there's about 12 of us. So I did get to work a good bit on all of the projects, as opposed to doing other things that some co-ops may have had to do, paperwork or busy work, but we got to get right in.
Okay. Did that settle in your mind your career choice or the path that you wanted to take?
Yeah, I mean, I think mainly the company, I don't think I'd work well in the large corporate setting. So this 12 people, we have open offices, we don't have cubicles. It was the environment that I liked, because I remember interviewing at one office and I thought it felt like a doctor's office, and it was like, you know, this isn't the atmosphere that I want to be in. And so through then, the people that I've worked with have been close to, and it's a good group. My boss is extremely smart, and so a great person to learn from.
Okay. Were there, or are there other women engineers at your company?
Currently, now there is one mechanical female engineer. She's been there for maybe 3 years. Some of the other co-ops have been female. The actual founding of Schiller and Hirsch was Judy Schiller, and she was obviously a female engineer. And then Hirsch, Dave, he's still around. Mm-hmm. So we actually had a women in minority business until she retired. So I got to work with her for a little bit. She's from Romania, so that was a little different lifestyle, mm-hmm. Or cultural, right. I should say. So.
Right. Okay. Do you ever have to work with contractors or?
Yes.
I have heard some stories about contractors not necessarily working well with women engineers. Has that been your case, or?
Nobody's really said anything. I think our company is, I think, a little stricter than some others when we review shop drawings that come in. We're critical. We'd like to see what we specify actually come in, that we're not getting shortchanged on anything. We want to. So the review process can be tedious, and they may not be happy with us for that. Mm-hmm. But as far as just being a female, not to my face, I haven't really gotten, you know, anything. You know, different, you know, they're like, oh, you know, there's a female, or some people just don't really acknowledge it, mm-hmm. or that I notice anyways. So, but in general, it's can be difficult working with contractors just on a different point of view from the engineering field, because everybody thinks they're right.
Okay.
When somebody isn't, so.
Okay. So being one of few women in your office, you know, at various times, and being one of, I assume, few women, you know, I assume that there aren't many women who you deal with in the, you know, amongst the contractors.
Correct.
Does that feel strange to you? Is it something that you are used to? Do you?
I'm definitely used to it, but it's definitely nice when you get to go out and there is a female architect, or, you know, you're not the only female in the meeting of, you know, 15 other guys or whatever it may be. But mm-hmm. Yeah, you get used to it.
Okay. What best prepared you for your position? I get you've been working it with them for most of your college career, mm-hmm. right? So, what did your classes help to prepare you? Did work or your involvement in SLE help to prepare you for the interpersonal communications? How do you think? What do you think makes you succeed in your position?
Well, I know that a lot of the stuff we learned in school is not what I do with our profession. But it was actually the one female faculty advisor senior year who taught the power classes also taught my boss. So there was a connection there. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that that's what he had gone through, so that helped. Because the other guys in my office did not major in power. They majored in other facets of electrical engineering. So in that sense, I'm a little more knowledgeable to them. But I think just being in the co-op situation prepared me, you know, understand, and now that I've been there so long, you know, I know all the ins and outs of the company, and that definitely helps you. It helps you see, you know, what's out there. And I did interview for other jobs, but I felt that this one was the one that I wanted to stay with. So.
Okay. What do you Where do you see your career going next? Do you want to head into management? Do you want to go back to school? Do you want to stay where you are?
It's a very good question. I definitely have thought about it. I'm really not the kind of person, school's not my thing, mm-hmm. though I think that I might need to go back for something, and I question where our company's going to go, because the other half of the company is almost at retirement, but I don't know when or if that will go. So I think that will change the structure of the company greatly. Mm-hmm. And so because we're so small, there isn't really like a ladder to move up or advance per se. So I think if that structure changes, that I would like to get more management or more on the proposal side of bringing people in. Mm-hmm. In that sense, and helping just organize the company. But I always did say that if I went back to school, it'd be for something different.
Okay.
But maybe management. Yeah. So still working on that.
So if you went back to school for something different, would it be something different but still along the lines of engineering, or would it be?
You know, it would be so hard. I'd like to, always like to say I want to go back and be a pastry chef, because I do like to bake. But there's so much that I've learned about now that I didn't know of in school.
Okay.
Like all of the webpage stuff that I've done now kind of interests me into like graphic design, history, and mm-hmm. the family tree, and preserving and archiving and that kind of stuff. So those things really interest me now that I didn't know about back in school. And so you kind of wonder, what could I do with mm-hmm. those kinds of things? And
yeah. Okay. Can you tell me about when did you first join the SWE Philadelphia section?
I upgraded right after I graduated, but I don't think I was active for that first year. I remember going onto their website, mm-hmm. and it hadn't been updated for 3 years or so. And I'm like, So I didn't really know what was going on with the section all that much. I think I got a few emails here or there.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point in time, we were getting ready to host the regional conference at Drexel. So I contacted the president and I was like, do you need a webmaster? And from then on, that's kind of how I got in. I started with that, and then I did the website for the conference, worked with them, with the Drexel students, since I had a good knowledge, you know, of the campus, mm-hmm. and was able to provide that insight. So that's, yeah, how I started with the Philly section.
Okay. So after working on that conference, what was the next thing that you got involved in? Well, you had the connection with Drexel, so what kept you involved in the Philadelphia section?
Well, I think just because I was president of the Drexel section, I was highly involved in that. I wanted to keep that, and so now that I'd met people of the section and been to the meetings, I was, you know, more comfortable with them. And so from then, you started working with some of the other girls on revising our bylaws and doing officer retreats now, helping with that. And I was VP of communications for a while. We redid the bylaw structure to have 3 VPs now,
mm-hmm.
Which I think helped. So the president wasn't responsible for everything. And so in that position, you know, helped. We redid the newsletter. So we're doing a lot of stuff to get information out there to the people.
Okay. And you redid the website?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. How did your employer support your activities in SWE? Did they give you time off to go to the events? Did they notice that you were in SWE?
They know that I'm in SWE, but I wouldn't necessarily say that, or I guess I really haven't had the conversation as to how much they would support. I haven't really needed to take off the time, but I could use, you know, I could, we have flex time, so I could leave and come back and make up my time if I needed to.
Mm-hmm.
They know that I'm here at conference because of the award. And I think with this next conference, I think they'll be more aware with that. And so it's not that they don't support me. And I think that they're happy they do use it on the resumes that go out on proposals that I am part of the Society of Women Engineers. So,
mm-hmm. Okay. Can you tell me about your being counselor for Drexel? When did you first, you know, take up that position?
So when I graduated, the Philadelphia section was at a point where they kind of appointed people to be counselors because the sections were required to have them, but technically by bylaws, the counselor is supposed to be a voted on position. And I knew that the girl that had been appointed wasn't doing anything for the section. So I really tried to get in there as best that I could because I knew that I would be a better benefit for the section. And I think so that happened in 2005 or 2006. And but I'd worked with them because I was still close with a lot of the girls because, you know, as they were there when I was still there. And I had done a mentor-mentee program, and my mentee was still there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had those connections, and I wanted to get back in and help them because I feel that the connection to the professional section is very valuable because as a collegiate section, you don't really know what's going on outside of your section per se, and that they're so much larger with, you know, SWE.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to kind of keep those girls, because I noticed a lot of people that don't upgrade and rejoin into the professional section because I don't think they know what it's about. So I felt that that was important to get that message out there and work with them.
Okay. You said that you were the mentor in the mentor-mentee
yes.
program. Were you ever a mentee at some point?
No.
Professional. Do you think you would have benefited from that? Or?
I think so. Because I think with my relationship with my mentee, I think she greatly benefited hearing from my personal stories. She had actually started out kind of in the same field, but now she's in environmental, and so I think that that's helped her understand, you know, what kind of goes on in that field and whatnot. So helping see somebody else kind of in the same path would have been nice.
Okay. So as the Drexel counselor, how do you work with the section?
I'm on their email list, so I'm constantly know what's going on with the section. I try to make it to as many meetings as I can.
Mm-hmm.
I'm there for support whenever they need it. I know they just had an issue recently because one of the girls canceled to go to conference, and so there's this $400 flight ticket that nobody can use, and they're going to now have to eat the price, so they needed some advice with that. So
mm-hmm.
I helped give them advice with that. I've traveled with them to conferences on various times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just supporting them, you know, showing up, I think makes a big difference so that they know that they have the support, that somebody's there for them, and remind them when their bylaws are due because they're going to lose their dues soon. you know, keep them in the loop of what goes on and make sure that they're following the national guidelines.
Okay. What do you hope that they will get out of this relationship? Or what do you hope that they will learn from you?
I hope that they know that SWE goes beyond the collegiate section and they'll continue to help aspire those younger girls that they've been working with and continue doing that throughout their profession, and that, you know, no matter what you do, you have a role in helping those other women.
Okay. Have you gotten anything personally out of the relationship with them?
Yes, I think because especially with the awards package for this Councilor Ward, seeing the the letter of recommendations mm-hmm. coming from the students, and just seeing how much I've affected them, that I don't think I ever really noticed before mm-hmm. or realized that I had such an impact with them. So knowing that, I think right. is good for personal growth.
That's good. That's good. Why do you, why have you chosen to spend so much time volunteering with SWE, working on all these committees when you could be baking pastries?
To me, SWE's important, just in, I think that women inequality is a big issue for me, and that, you know, things do need to be equal, and though I think that it's coming along, I don't think it's necessarily there. And so, just the support that the women give is another way of meeting people and helping, you know, advance either the collegiates or the professional section to be the best that they can. I think really benefits me, you know, on that personal level, and more so than, you know, baking. But, you know, being out there, I think the quality thing, and making people know that there are women engineers, that we are smart, you know, we're intelligent, mm-hmm. and we're everyday people, so.
Okay. Being involved in your job and in SWE, and then, you know, with your family, how do you balance all of that?
It's busy. It definitely gets busy. I know that SWE is a good time for me to get out and have, you know, kind of the alone time from my husband, and let him have his own personal time to do what he wants. So I think that helps, that we're not, you know, constantly with each other, and that we can be independent from each other and do our own things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think I'm thankful for work, that though we are extremely busy, I'm not bogged down in overtime, so I do have that free time after work that I can dedicate to SWE. So, I mean, it's busy nights, and, you know, you make your sacrifices for not doing necessarily all the other things that you might want to do, but there's better benefit for it, for taking the time to do that.
Okay. And I know that you have been very interested in the history of SWE, or the history of SWE, the history of women engineers. Why have you been so interested in that? What has attracted you to?
Well, recently, the last 3 or 4 years, I've been working on my own family genealogy project. And so from that standpoint, it kind of ties into the Philadelphia section, because I have that greater knowledge of preserving and knowing that there's not a lot of stuff around now. And that when I went to Drexel, I didn't know that we were the first section of SWE, and that the Philadelphia section had that impact mm-hmm. Until just recently. So there's so many people that don't know that I wanted to get that message out there, make sure that that is preserved and that people can find things easily, because I know our documents are in such array, and so organization to me is key. And so I think preserving the past makes it better for the future, because you can learn from that, from what they did, how they started, and just be proud to know that we are a part of those founding sections.
Mm-hmm. You have been doing oral history interviews with some of those founders.
Yes.
What have you learned from them?
Oh, all kinds of things. The two founders, and actually one just passed away this summer, so I was very glad that we got to interview her, and I got to meet her and learn from her experiences. And it's interesting to see the pictures of her then, all dressed up in skirts, and now she's in pants and mm-hmm. would never want to be caught dead in a skirt again, and to see them, how they dressed back then, and that was required, you know, for their jobs and everything. And they talked about wearing the white gloves and coming to conference in navy suits. And mm-hmm. One of the other women, she's more on the academic side, and just seeing how intelligent the women are. I mean, you know that they're smart, but some of the stuff that still comes out of her mouth really, you know, amazed me at her level of intelligence, even at an older age. Mm-hmm. And just knowing that, I think back then, when they started the section, it was very fun and outgoing, and they, you know, they wanted to socialize. And I think that some of the members today think that we're more professional, and we tend to lose balance of, we can still have fun and we can still do social things together and professional. And so it's kind of nice to see that they did that back then, and that we shouldn't, you know, focus on strictly professional aspects.
Okay. Have you heard from them what they thought about being interviewed?
Actually, I did make it to the funeral service for the one founder, and the other woman was there, mm-hmm. and her husband was also an engineer and was part of the men's artillery that the Philadelphia section. So he had seen the website, and they were just so happy with what I had put together. And one of the other women told me how much Doris, who was the one that passed away, really appreciated meeting the younger girls and seeing the interest that they had, and hoping that she had left, you know, a mark, you know, with us. So mm-hmm. they seemed extremely pleased and happy that they could do it.
Mm-hmm. What do you hope to do next in Philadelphia SWE?
Someday I do see that I'll be president. I'm just not exactly sure at which point in time I want to dedicate all that time to it, mm-hmm. and you know, help the section with that. I mean, I do a lot now, but I just don't feel that it's my time to be in that position. Mm-hmm. So definitely continue getting us awards. I think that that's extremely important, and I think this year we submitted some great stuff, and I think that it's important that nationally we get known, and I think that's a big key for me, is that, you know, we get known as being a good section, a large section, and, you know, we're doing conference at the University of Pennsylvania this year, and other things like that, and maybe hopefully someday we'll have national conference in Philly, mm-hmm. which hasn't happened yet. So I think those would be some of my bigger goals.
Okay. Why do you want to be a section president? What do you think that, how do you think you would benefit from that, or what experience do you think you would gain?
Well, I know that it'll definitely be different than the collegiate president. I think at a professional level, I think it's a good networking tool. With all of the other engineering societies, as well as on a corporate level, because people always want to come and sponsor meetings or whatever. So I think in that sense, I would gain, you know, the knowledge of all the other aspects of, you know, kind of the engineering world per se. And I think that I have the leadership skills needed for the section to help them continue to move on and advance.
Are you involved in any other professional technical societies?
No.
Is there any particular reason why, or just that you're...
I think because I dedicate so much time to SWE, and SWE is so important to me, and I know that I probably should get involved in some of the other ones, but kind of the person that I get comfortable in one thing, and I'm not great at branching out and doing different things or being that first person to step forward. I tend to be shy at times when I don't know people. Mm-hmm. And so going out there and being the only person, you know, to get into another section can be, you know, kind of fearful for me. So okay. I'm comfortable with SWE. I spend a lot of time there, and I feel that, you know, that's okay.
Okay. I think that was it for my questions. Is there anything else that you want to add?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Okay. Well, thank you very much for doing this interview. And we will conclude.